Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Diving deep into your Boston Red Sox, it's Red Sox Review with Brian Barrett. Your exclusive home of the Sox. WEEI.
2-2. Fastball, strike three, call, ball game over. The Red Sox hang on. They beat the Braves in a real grinder. The final, Boston 10 and Atlanta 8. A three-run homer by Alex Verdugo, breaking a 7-7 tie in the eighth inning, proves to be the difference.
Oh, man, that would have been a tough one to lose if the Red Sox fell to the Braves. They were clearly the better team, but they shot themselves in the foot multiple different times, especially in that sixth inning with the three errors. Kike Hernandez trying to make the tag, can't make the play. Hunter Renfroe doesn't hit the cutoff man, so you allow a runner to get into scoring position, and then you have the pass ball, although I put that more on Darwinson Hernandez than I do Christian Vasquez. So that sixth inning turned out to be a complete mess. You had Garrett Whitlock walking a pair of guys in that inning, which he never does. So it just felt like this thing was getting away from the Red Sox. But luckily, the offense continued to respond because you did get a fairly impressive outing from Eduardo Rodriguez from a stuff perspective. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. But the length is still not there with E-Rod. That's what you want to see out of the pitcher. The fastball was great tonight. And I'll give you some numbers on how impressive the fastball was. But more importantly, he's got to give you depth. He's got to give you a longer outing because we keep saying something about E-Rod after every start. And quite frankly, this is the most dominant he's looked this season. And I get the Braves eventually got to him, but this is the most dominating his stuff has looked this season. The problem was it just felt like he wore down because he threw so many fastballs. He threw too many fastballs in this particular outing. But I do want to get to the eighth inning because Chris Martin comes in for the Braves. And by the way, if you want to weigh in on this one, what was your biggest takeaway from this? Were the Red Sox lucky to win, or are you more positive about this game? Because you know what? Yeah, it's an ugly game. But the Rays lose tonight, you pick up a game of the division, and the offense came through, which has been an issue over the past couple of weeks. I know we all talk about the pitching staff, but the offense has not been great over the past couple of weeks either, and they come through in a major way tonight. 617-779-7937 is the number. So the Braves in the eighth inning, they're back in this game at 7-7, so they go to one of their premier relievers, Chris Martin. By the way, on the season, a 2.84 ERA, and I'm not the biggest guy in terms of looking at relievers ERAs because you have one bad outing, you're screwed for the season. But look at these numbers. 191 opponent's batting average, very impressive. A .79 whip. This guy's been really good. He's one of these rare relief pitchers that has like a million different pitchers. Usually you see it's like Ottavino, right? He's going to give you like two pitches. He's going to give you the slider, the fastball, and yeah, occasionally he'll give you something else in there. But Darwinson, right? It's going to be slider, it's going to be fastball. It's very rare. In Matt Barnes, curveball, fastball. It's very rare to see a reliever that throws like four to five different pitches, and that's what Chris Martin does. So I thought this was very impressive by the Red Sox offense in that eighth inning because you're in the bottom portion of the order. Vasquez comes up. He singles. Nice piece of hitting. He's down in the count 0-2. He singles on a curveball down, kind of just elevates it into left field, 97 miles on the exit velocity. So you're down in the count 0-2. Up until that point in the game, it had not been a good night for Vasquez offensively. So I thought that was a really, really impressive at-bat from Vasquez in that particular scenario. And then you look at Bobby Dalbec, who comes up next, who had not had a good night up until that particular point in time. He singles back up the middle on a 1-2 count, fell behind. And what impressed me most about Dalbec's approach there is he didn't try to do too much. And he's able to get a sinker down in the zone, elevates it into center field, or not even elevates it, really hits it on the ground, but rockets at 104.7 miles an hour on the exit velocity. Really nice piece of hitting. And I'm going to do something that I ordinarily don't do on the show, which is give Marwin Gonzalez some credit. And actually, I'll give Alex Cora some credit on this as well, because you could tell that the idea was they were going to pinch hit Michael Chavis. And so when you look at it, they were in a situation where now first and second, no outs. Who handles the bat better, Marwin or Chavis? Because you're going to bunt in that particular situation with the top of the order coming up. So they decide, you know what, let's pinch hit Marwin Gonzalez. We feel better about him handling the bat, or does Alex Cora, I should say. And I give Marwin credit, man, because you look at what happens. He fouls off the first one, and it's a sinker middle-middle. It was a good pitch to bunt on. The next one's a changeup middle-middle. He fouls that one as well. He can't get it down. You're thinking to yourself, 0-2. And I agreed with the move at the time. I said, much better off having Marwin try to bunt this than try to put it in play, right, considering how poorly he has hit this season. So they decide, all right, keep the bunt signal on, and Marwin gets it down. That's a clutch bunt. 0-2 count. Tie game in the eighth inning. You got the top of the order coming up after Marwin. That's a clutch bunt by Marwin Gonzalez. I got to give him a ton of credit. So then it's second and third with one out. Kike gets on top of a sinker. I don't know what was going on there. It seems like that should be a contact play, right? So I don't know. Danny Santana was pinch running at third base, so it felt weird to me that he wasn't on the move right away. But anyway, unfortunately for the Red Sox, they don't get the run there. But then Verdugo comes up. And Verdugo, man, incredible clutch player we're finding out about this guy. Really, I mean, so first of all, Martin, all types of controversy here. Martin goes to his mouth, so he gets a ball for that. And then Verdugo homers on a changeup, 409 feet, 104 miles on the exit velocity, 10-7 ball game. And Verdugo, this is one of the rare nights where he didn't have a ton of great at-bats up until this particular point in time. But I love the way that he pimped out the home run. He was celebrating like crazy. He brings a crazy amount of energy to this team. Just a clutch hit for Verdugo. And I think the other guy you got to give credit for, or credit to, I should say, is Heimblum. And I know it's a while since this move went down, but you have got to give Heimblum credit for identifying Verdugo as one of the guys in the Mookie Betts trade. You have to identify, or you have to give him credit for identifying that, because if you look at it, he is one of the most disciplined hitters in the entire sport. On the season, 12.3% strikeout rate, that's ninth in baseball. 87.1% contact rate, that's 12th in baseball. So you knew that you were going to get a good at-bat from Verdugo no matter what happened in that particular situation. He just ends up going deep. And by the way, on the season, I'm not telling you that Alex Verdugo is Mookie Betts, but I just think it's worth mentioning these numbers considering what he's doing this season. Verdugo's hitting .288. Mookie's hitting .250. Verdugo's got a .348 on base percentage. Mookie, .373. Advantage Mookie. OPS, very similar. .806 for Verdugo. .812 for Mookie. 9 home runs for Verdugo. 7 home runs for Mookie. This season so far, strikeout rate, neither one of these guys strikes out a whole lot. Verdugo, 12.3%. And Mookie Betts, 15.3%. I'm not telling you that he's a better player, and I know Mookie's been dealing with a back situation, but the fact that Heimblum came here and the first move that he had to make was he had to get rid of Mookie Betts because Mookie Betts was not going to be here long term. And you had to get some value back for the player. And you got Jeter Downs in the farm system and Wong as well. But the fact that you were able to get Alex Verdugo, identify this player, because he's really different from most of this Red Sox lineup. He's a very unique player for this group. There's a lot of guys in this lineup that are high strikeout guys, right? Even Rafael Devers, who is outstanding tonight, high strikeout guy. You think about some of the other guys they've identified externally, right? The Danny Santanas of the world, high strikeout guys. There's a lot of strikeouts in this Red Sox lineup. And Verdugo is different from the rest of the guys in this lineup because he always makes contact. He's one of the toughest guys in the entire sport to strike out. So I love the fact that he's coming into his own with this team. And I do really genuinely mean this. When you play 162 games, having a guy with this type of energy on a daily basis has got to be helpful going forward because he brings that to the ballpark each and every day. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. A lot more to get into. We'll get into Erod's start. There's a lot of positive to take away from what Erod did tonight. There's also some negative to take away from it as well. And what the hell is going on with this team defensively? I don't know what the hell transpired there in the sixth inning. Let's start it off tonight with Alex in Connecticut. Alex, what's up?
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good.
You know, first of all, I just want to add to that. The other night when I spoke to you, I told you I compared, you know, not that he's Mookie, but comparing them. And as we're going forward, I can see that, you know, This guy Verdugo is just, you know, he's giving us the kind of stuff that Mookie was giving us all along.
You know, Alex, but I heard Jerry Remy, and I hope Jerry Remy's doing better. I heard Dave O'Brien allude to it on the broadcast yesterday.
He
talked to him the other day. He said on the broadcast last night that he's doing better, and he was texting with him. But Jerry Remy compared him earlier this season to Dustin Pedroia. He does kind of remind me of Pedroia, like the energy he brings to the ballpark every night. You know, he's that spark plug type of guy.
He's got that intensity, you know?
Yeah, you remember Pedroia, too, how he was so tough to strike out. He always gave you a good at-bat. I feel like Verdugo's always, like, he'd make coffee nervous, you know?
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. The thing that's got me pulling my hair tonight is the errors. I mean, I love Rafi. I love him, but I mean, what are they thinking?
Well, hold on, Alex. You're talking about whoa. You're talking about that play in the ninth inning. He had no chance at that. I mean, his best chance is to try to barehand it and throw him out. But even if he barehands it, he's not going to throw him out anyway. Rafael Devers
said, No. I wasn't talking about that. You know that. I mean, this whole breakdown of three errors in one inning. I mean, as a whole.
Yeah, that was sloppy as hell. That six inning day, yeah, that was so sloppy. I don't know what's going on with Kike there. And maybe it's because he rarely plays second base nowadays. It's usually Arroyo every day. And then Renfro sometimes, like, he has a great arm, but sometimes you just got to make the simple play and hit the cutoff, man.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, sometimes it's like it just seemed tonight they were overthinking everything instead of just, you know, going through the motions like you're naturally going to do, playing the game, having fun, and just play the game. But, I mean, even Vasquez, who I love, I mean, he's got like six errors now. I mean, it just gets too much.
I don't know, Alex. That was a pass ball on Vasquez, but I felt like Darwinson was nowhere near the target. He was supposed to go away with that pitch.
He got his glove on it.
Yeah, sure. No, I understand where you're coming from. And my issue with Vasquez.
And then why did he take Whitlock out?
Why did he take Whitlock out? Because Whitlock was starting to fade a little bit there, man. And he wanted the lefty. He wanted Darwinson for Freddie Freeman. I didn't have an issue with that. Darwinson's got to be better when he comes into the game. He's got to be ready to go. And I felt like Whitlock, remember in that particular inning, Alex, he had walked too. He did not look like the same pitcher.
True. But still,
I'm not going to second guess Alex Cora on that one. Now, I appreciate the call, by the way, Alex. Did it work out the way that they wanted it to work out? No, they wanted Darwinson to come out and get the out, and he was unable to do it. But I don't feel like Cora made a mistake in that particular scenario. All right, if you want to join us, 617-779-7937 is the number. Also, what did you make of Erod's outing tonight? Are you saying, okay, this is a step in the right direction for Erod, or are you still frustrated with the player? We'll get into all that in just a little bit here on WEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You're listening to Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 94 mile an hour fastball. That's one of the best hitters in the sport, and Eddie just blew him away.
That's some confidence there, boy. That's what we're talking about now, a little swag in the mound.
All right, you heard it there. Will Fleming and Lou Maloney right there on the call. Brian Barrett with you until midnight. What did you make of E-Rod's outing? And that was the strikeout of Ronald Acuna Jr., one of, as Will said, the best hitters in the sport. And I'm so torn in this outing for E-Rod, right? Because he starts it out with that strikeout of Ronald Acuna Jr. He throws him a fastball, throws that fastball by him. He threw him six straight fastballs after a cutter to begin the at-bat. And by the way, Acuna Jr. is hitting 307 in at-bats that end on fastballs with a 650 slugging percentage, right? With 14 home runs. And E-Rod said, I'm going to challenge you with my fastball. And he went after him and he sat him down. And I'm thinking to myself, holy crap, this is going to be one heck of a night for E-Rod because he's got the fastball going, right? So then the next batter comes up. It's Freddie Freeman. And I know Freeman's not having a great year, but he is the reigning National League MVP. And he gets Freeman swinging, four fastballs and a cutter, and then gets him swinging at a sinker 93 miles an hour, which is essentially, you know, that two-seam fastball. The sinker, 93 miles an hour, so it's still hard stuff. Freeman, by the way, seven home runs on fastballs. He's hitting 233 this year against fastballs, or at bats it ends with fastballs, 435 last year. But this is a National League MVP. You're willing to go out there and challenge him. I absolutely love that. From Eduardo Rodriguez, then Albie singles on a changeup, middle, and then he ends up striking out Riley on a fastball upstairs. He threw him six, and then he got him on a sinker as well. But you just look at it in terms of what E-Rod was doing in that first inning, I felt like, holy crap, this looks like the guy that is supposed to be the front end of the rotation pitcher, right? In that first inning, he threw 15 four-seamers, eight swings, five whiffs, two called strikes. He was absolutely dominant in that first inning. And it made you think, you look throughout his outings this season. I went through it. It's the most swings and misses he's had all season long, 17. 40% in terms of swings he got misses on. So that's the best in terms of a percentage as well. But then you're torn because he only went four innings, right? You're thinking to yourself, you got to give this team length, right? E-Rod hasn't given you six innings since the 12th of May. He's gone six innings or more just three times this season. So I felt like the biggest thing with E-Rod was this, the pitch selection, right? He tired himself out throwing all those fastballs. So he threw 54 seamers on 80 pitches. That's 63% he's going with four-seam fastballs. Ordinarily, he throws that pitch 33% of the time. So it felt like what he did was he gassed himself out. And I really felt like the biggest issue for E-Rod came in that fourth inning where Swanson gets him, doubles on a fastball, middle, because at this point, everybody knows the fastball's coming because it felt like that's all he wanted to throw. And look, I give him credit for having confidence in the pitch, but you got to mix it up more. And also, Vasquez has got to do more in that particular situation. You got to make sure he's mixing in other pitches back there if you're Vasquez. But then Almonte doubles on a fastball that's up in the zone, 103 miles an hour on the exit velocity. He does come back and he gets Contreras to ground out on a changeup down. He gets Heredia looking at a cutter, painted on the outside portion of the plate, right? But then he walks the pinch hitter, Adrianza, a 224 hitter, Adrianza, I should say, 224 hitter. Go get him. Okay, that's the guy you want to throw fastballs to, the guy that's hitting 224 on the season. And unfortunately, when you walk the guy that comes in to pinch hit for the pitcher, what happens in that particular situation is Ronald Acuna Jr. comes up next. You've already gotten him twice. You're not going to get him a third time. He doubles on a four-seamer. And that's when E-Rod, you could tell he was starting to fade because that one was only 91 miles an hour. And Acuna Jr. hit at 114 miles an hour on the exit velocity. So then you have a situation where the game's 5-4. And the issue I have there is it just felt like he gassed himself out too early in the game. He felt really good about his fastball, and he should, but you got to pace yourself throughout the start. So I'm really torn with the start for E-Rod because the fastball was really good. Last time out, I thought the changeup was really good. Why not throw more changeups than you did? That's the thing that I look at, is you had the stuff to be able to give this team tonight six innings. But the problem was the pitch selection was bad. That's what I have an issue with. It drives me crazy because you had the stuff to go six tonight. You had the fastball to go six innings tonight. You got to mix up your pitches more. That's what aggravated me. And that's why he starts to get hit in the fourth inning, because the Braves are like, wait, all he's going to do is throw us fastballs all night? That's all he's going to do? We look at E-Rod, the guy's got a million different pitches. He's just throwing fastballs. So it was so aggravating because it felt like for one of the only times this season, the stuff was there. The fastball was really dominant, especially in that first inning. He set the tone with that fastball, and then he just fades because that's all he wanted to throw. So that's the issue I have with E-Rod tonight. It's so aggravating because the stuff was there. So I guess in a sense, I feel positive going forward because I know he's got that fastball. But the question is, can he be more intelligent with the pitch selection? Let's get to Wally. He's in Fall River. What's up, Wally?
What's up, Brian? A couple of things I want to hit on. First, on E-Rod, you know, it's just a perplexing situation with him. You can't figure. He just seems to can't figure things out. I'm only thankful the Red Sox didn't open the vault and give him a $150 million extension. But we keep on giving him a pass, but sooner or later he's got to straighten himself out.
Yeah, you know, and Wally, this is the guy that's supposed to give you the length, right? He's the guy that was supposed to be the top end of the rotation guy. And it's more often than not, he's giving you five innings or less, and he's giving you five innings or more. That's the aggravating part.
Right. We gave him a 5-0 lead. I mean, we had a chance to get more. We had the bases loaded with one out, but you figured this was going to be a blowout for us. But I feel we were lucky. You know, Verdugo, he's just a dynamo. He's a spark plug. Chaim Bloom, we have to give him a lot of credit. A lot of people were crucifying him. They said, oh, we got nothing for Mookie. But Mookie, you know, you could have gave $1 billion. He didn't want to be here. But, you know, he's a dynamo, a spark plug. But he bailed us out. That ball just kept on. The other two shots we hit were moon shots. But his ball just kept on carrying and carrying. But it was a good win. We were kind of lucky, but, you know, we still won the game.
Yeah, Wally, appreciate the phone call as always. His line's open at 617-779-7937. It is a good point. You go to the top of the sixth inning. And look, it's tough to complain about an offense when they put up 10 runs into the game tonight. But you could have put the game away in the sixth inning. I mean, you think about it. Remember, Dahlback singled on that slider down. And then Whitlock singled the opposite way. But then Kike comes up. He fouls out on a sinker up in the zone. Verdugo grounds into a fielder's choice, who would be the hero later on in the game. And then J.D. lines out on a sinker. So you had first and second with no outs there in that top of the sixth inning. You had a real opportunity to put them away, and you were unable to do it. Now, you still win the game and all that, but I do understand where Wally's coming from with that is you left too many guys on base. Let's get to David in Florida. David, what's up?
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, you won't let me talk about Devers. So, I mean, you were complimenting Cora earlier.
Hold on. David, what is your complaint about Devers tonight? His home run, his double? I mean, what are you complaining about?
Nothing. Just in general, everybody complains about the defense, but I don't hear any solutions. But at any rate, Cora tonight. I mean, he didn't put the contact player on, but he pinch runs for like you were saying earlier, and that's obvious. And I thank you for bringing that up,
David. I don't know about that, David. I don't. I think the contact play may have been on. I think Santana might have misread it or something. Because I don't know why the contact play wouldn't be on there.
I don't know either. They were talking about it on the radio. I mean, Maloney was saying it all. But if it wasn't on, then I mean, why doesn't he address it during the post game?
Yeah, maybe we'll hear about that. It was weird. It was a weird situation. Lou would know better than me. Lou would know better than me. So,
In addition to that, early in the game, you just said, I mean, that they can't, you know, choke up on the bat instead of looking for a home run. I mean, what is becoming of our pastime? Our beloved game of baseball is becoming nothing more than a Sega Genesis bastardized version of this game. It's bashball. Whichever team has more total bases wins. Everybody's concerned with the home run when all you need is a sack fly to drive the guy in and increase the lead. I mean,
David, they had 14 hits tonight, man.
But it's not how many you hit you get, but it's when you get the hits. You know, like Belichick says in football, same thing in baseball, situational baseball. And I mean, they were doing a very good job of that early in the season, but I don't see it now. I mean, we get a 5-run lead, and they can't manage a 5-run lead. And you're right. I mean, Erod started out very well, but his pitch selection. He was overly dependent upon the fastball.
Yeah, and I don't know why,
tired.
David. I appreciate the call as always. I don't know why he kept going. Like, the fastball was great, so I understand why you want to keep going for it, but you've got to be able to pace yourself so you can get through the outing. It's one thing if Erod relied on that fastball north of 60% of the time like he did tonight, but that's not how he's been using his four-seamer this year. He uses it about 33% of the time, so it felt like he wore himself down. And that one that he threw to Ronald Acuna Jr. there in the fourth inning, what happened in that particular situation is he threw it 91 miles an hour. When most of the night he's got 93, he's got 94. So you could tell he was definitely fatiguing, and Alex Cora had to go to the bullpen to bring in Whitlock after that. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight on Red Sox Review. We'll hear from the manager, Alex Cora, next. And also, one impressive stat on Rafael Devers that'll blow your mind. We'll get to it next here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Alex, what do you think has been the leading to E-Rod not being able to finish out in the way he normally did in 2019?
I mean, right now, I don't know. Honestly, I think stuff-wise, he's good. The changeup was good. Velocity was good. Elevated fastball was good. He wasn't able to finish him off, you know, in that spot, you know. And he needs to be more aggressive in that situation with the ninth hitter there, with the pinch hitter. And that walk, you know, put us in a bad spot, and that's one of the best hitters they have. Obviously, they had that trap, right, with Freddie behind, so you got to let him face him because they got Freddie behind it, but, it wasn't a good one.
Yeah, I agree with Alex Cora. He's exactly right. That's what I was saying earlier. You have to go after the guy that pinch hits there for the pitcher in Adrianza. Go after that guy. He's hitting like 230 on the season. He's never been a good hitter in his whole entire major league career. He's below 254 his career, if you will. You got to go after him. You got to be able to put that guy away so you don't have to face Ronald Acuña Jr., one of the best hitters in the sport. That's the aggravating thing, and that's the frustrating thing. And Alex Cora saying he had the stuff tonight. He did, and that's what is the most perplexing thing about this. You had the stuff. How many times have we heard this year that E-Rod didn't have the changeup, or he didn't have the cutter, or he didn't have the fastball? Tonight he had his pitches. He just was in a position where he didn't go through his pitch selection in a good manner, right? I mean, you've got to be able to realize what pitches you have to throw to get through your start. You can't go from throwing 30% fastballs to 63% fastballs and expect to get through the start. That's the issue for Eduardo Rodriguez. He faded at the end of the start. You've got to be able to put away a guy that's pinch hitting for the pitcher in that particular scenario. So that's the thing that's aggravating, is it felt like really for one of the only times this year he had his stuff and he's unable to finish it off. And that is the thing that's disappointing, where he's supposed to be the front end of your rotation guy and he gives you four innings tonight. You got to do more than that. This is now two games in a row where E-Rod couldn't give you five innings. Just very disappointing, because you felt like tonight at least he had the capabilities of getting there with the stuff that he had. I wanted to mention this real quick on Rafael Devers. So he hits that absolutely huge home run, 435 feet, 107.3 miles an hour on the exit velocity. So, by the way, he's hitting now 304 in at-bats that end in breaking balls, a 625 slugging percentage. Here's the stat, though, that sticks out to you. He has a 56.3 hard hit percentage. That means balls that travel north of 95 miles an hour on the exit velocity. That's second percentage-wise to only Aaron Judge. By the way, he's barreled up 31 balls this season. Actually, now after tonight, 33 balls. Second to only Ohtani. He's ahead of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Ronald Acuña Jr. So that's how much raw power Rafael Devers has. And you saw it on display again tonight. And I do want to mention this before we leave for the night. And I know I've given this guy a lot of credit over the past couple of weeks, but I'm in a position now where at the beginning of the season, we had a lot of questions about the bullpen, right? But Sawamura and Ottavino have become nails. They have become very reliable guys. Now, Matt Barnes was not on his A game again tonight. That's now two consecutive nights, and you would imagine he's not going to be available tomorrow. But his curveball was not great tonight. And I go back to last night. I just didn't like his approach. I felt like he's trying to quick pitch guys. Just like, you don't have to do all that. And he didn't have a good curveball last night. The one he threw to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was horrible. He had a couple of bad curveballs tonight. So he just was not good the past two games. I'm not overly concerned about that because he's been good the majority of the season. But two guys that have become real weapons. Sawamura, first of all, who, remember, he missed a couple of outings, or he wasn't available for a couple of games because of the hip thing. But this guy's been absolutely dynamic this season. So on his splitter, Opponents hitting just 208. They're swinging and missing 47.8% of the time. And he uses it 34% of the time. And I still contend it's the hardest splitter I think I've ever seen. Here's the thing he does tonight. He gets Riley to ground out on a splitter, and it gets soft contact, right? 72 miles an hour. Then he gets Swanson to ground out on a fastball, 97 miles an hour. He throws that thing, soft contact, 73 miles an hour. And then he strikes out Almonte, swinging a 93-mile-an-hour splitter. I feel like now whenever this guy comes into the game, it's blouses. It's over. He's going to put hitters away. The numbers on the season are absolutely remarkable. He's in the 82nd percentile in strikeout rate, 30.6. Whiff rate's at 35.3%. That's in the 91st percentile. Chase rate, getting guys to swing at pitches out of the zone, he's at 31%. That ranks in the 83rd percentile. He's just been dominant. And the other guy is Ottavino. And I know tonight he came into a clean inning, so to speak. But on the season, 7% inherited run scored percentage. That's one of the best in all of Major League Baseball in terms of what he's able to do. And now, since he's throwing strikes, right, that was the issue earlier in the season. He was struggling to find the strike zone at times. And that's when he would get himself into trouble, is when he couldn't throw strikes. And now he's throwing strikes. And tonight he just rips through the eighth inning, gets Contreras to fly out on a slider. Then he strikes out Heredia swinging on a nasty slider. And by the way, if you remember back to that eighth inning, Heredia looks stupid swinging at that pitch. He gets a lot of those, man. He may lead the league in those. I guess Jacob DeGrom. But he makes a lot of guys look stupid when they swing at some of his pitches, right? I mean, it's just like, what the hell are they swinging at? They're nowhere close to it. And then he strikes out Inciarte on a fastball upstairs. Look at that. So Ottavino's been really good. Salamore has been really good. Barnes has been good for the majority of the season, although he is struggling as of late. But for the most part, he's been nailed. So this bullpen that was once a question coming into the season, you're looking at three guys that I can rely on right now. And Whitlock, for the most part, you've been able to rely on as well, although he was not great tonight. Good in the first inning. He pitched the fifth, but not in the sixth inning. He walked two guys. But overall, you got to feel a lot better about this bullpen than you did just a couple of months ago. All right, thanks to Justin for producing. I'll be back with you tomorrow after the Red Sox and the Braves. Hopefully we get a shorter game tomorrow, because that was a 3.5-hour baseball game. All right, have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.